Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Good morning. Well, there's a little bit of a change that you may hear in today's podcast and show. It's probably more evident in the show. Oh, I don't know.
Something, we've done something to ourselves, yeah, both of us.
If you've been following along on Instagram at Lees and Sarah, you'll see that Lees and I have both taken the leap and now have Invisalign
braces
on our teeth.
They were put on yesterday at about lunchtime, so we are
still
hardly
getting used to them. Well, apparently it just takes a day or two for your tongue to figure out where it needs to sit to create the clearer sound. So this slight lisping that you're hearing will go.
Will subside.
Yeah, it will.
Take a listen to the show. Tell us how we did. And then we'll come back and tell you where we're at, what our kids and husbands said after this.
Those Two Girls.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Everyone.
Thank you, Jason. Nice of you to put my mic on.
I was cutting it a bit short just then, trying to do some other stuff before we came on here.
And you forgot to turn the hosts on.
Yeah. I mean, not a hugely important thing.
No, not a biggie.
In a win. For a Wednesday, for a hump day, we've got to do this.
Camels of the world, spice up your life. Every hump and every whore, spice up your life.
Guys, we're heading over to Dubai with a wonderful camel story involving an off-duty nurse named Susan. Now, Susan is a 53-year-old South African expat who grew up on a farm, which is important to know.
Okay.
So when she and her husband took off on their weekly bike trip through the sand dunes, they passed the herd of 77 camels that they always do.
Okay.
It gives them a lot of pleasure to see them there. But this particular day, they noticed there was something a bit off. All the camels were standing very still, and the older camels were sort of at a distance. And as they approached closer, they saw that there was a newborn calf on the ground, and the mother was standing nearby.
Oh, no.
Right? Obviously, distress was going on.
Okay.
So they approached, and Susan could see that the newborn calf had what appeared to be a rope or pipe around its neck.
The umbilical cord, Sarah.
That's right. And Susan quickly deduced from her nursing career and having delivered more than 50 babies during that time that the mother had given birth during the night. And the umbilical cord had been wrapped around its neck. And because it was in the day, the umbilical cord had started to harden.
No.
So, yes, Lees, yes. So Susan tentatively approached.
So how did she
bowed her head to the mother so
it?
The mother knew it wasn't going to be a threat. No. Mm. And she got up. She could see that the calf's tongue and mouth were dry. It hadn't had any nutrients. It was dehydrated. And she managed to rip that cord off.
Okay.
The calf struggled to its feet.
And it survived.
And it had some life-saving milk from its mother. I mean, what a beautiful story.
I mean, where was the camel dad with the pair of scissors?
Oh, sorry. No, Dane wasn't around. If Dane was a camel.
I have an incredible photo of Dane cutting the umbilical cord when I gave birth to my youngest boy, Maxie, and he dead set looks like like a butcher. Like he has this evil glare in his eyes and he's just looking straight at the camera and it's the weirdest photo but also the very best. I won't put it up on
because your legs
Instagram.
Are still in stirrups.
Yeah,
like this
I'm
is
like,
all very...
Who even took that photo? Like I have no recollection. Who was there taking that photo?
Also, cutting an umbilical cord, I mean, it's
why
not great.
Is that a thing?
Well, I don't know why it's a thing. Like, just snip that little sausage cord. Get
I don't think any man truly wants. I think that's against
I know.
Their...
I think the hospital's like, we've got to get the fathers involved somehow for a lifelong commitment. Here, have a pair of scissors.
Your wife's just done everything for the better part of a year. You get to just snippity snip. Good for you.
It's the equivalent of cooking meat on the barbecue
next,
and then they claim it.
We're going to find out why it sounds like you got a massive lisp in that story.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
If you heard Sarah, it was mostly Sarah speaking in the previous break, but here we go. It's now my turn. We have some news to share with our listeners.
That directly affects our listeners?
That directly affects all of you.
But it should only directly affect you for sort of 24
for the
to 48
rest of this
hours.
Week, yes. Let's just say.
And that is, Lise and I have gone and got braces.
Who?
Lise. have got
Can
braces.
You please try the tongue twister?
Oh, you've got
she
say, yeah.
sells seashells by the seashore.
Yeah, so we've gone and got Invisalign braces yesterday. We were both doing it together, like in the single white female relationship that we have. And we've been weighing this up for so long. So long, like 6 years in my case. Yeah, finally bit the bullet and have done it. And we have had so many stories of people coming out saying as adults that they got braces as well.
Yeah, there seems to be something. Oh, God, why did I choose that sequence of words? There seems to be something about hitting your late 30s, early 40s where people are like, I don't want to wait anymore. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And this particular for us, we're looking, staring down the barrel of, you know, 9 months roughly yeah. of treatment. And we thought, why the hell not?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and also, you know what? It makes me feel young.
It kind of does
it
too.
It kind of makes me feel quite youthful that I have braces on.
Here's the thing, right? Lee's and my teeth were both straight when we were younger, but then you have kids and nobody tells you that sometimes the side effect of having children, pregnancy hormone relaxant, is that your teeth shift, which is what has happened in our case, plus getting older as well. But yeah. we just couldn't believe it
also,
when we were
vain.
What, we birthed children and now our teeth have moved? This
also,
is ridiculous.
Sarah, I mean, don't go down the medical road. Yes, our teeth have moved. Lots of
feet grew half a size, hair loss.
The reality is that we're also staring at ourselves in cameras for the better part of the day and our job is to laugh and to smile. So, yes, we've noticed that our smiles
what?
Are imperfect
do you know
and we don't like
that. Orthodontist said to us that more people are getting braces because they haven't been able to go on holidays, right, and spend their cashola overseas. They've got money sitting in the bank
and
they've decided to spend it on themselves.
And they're staring themselves in Zoom meetings
yeah.
and go and noticing things about themselves.
Yeah. Well,
I do like the fact that we've done it together.
Me too.
It's like if I'm going down, you're coming down with me.
Yeah. That's the friendship spirit I know and love you for. She sells seashells.
That wasn't bad, but you're getting better.
Seashore.
You're getting better.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Hey, I was watching the news a couple of nights ago and there was absolutely terrifying drone footage of a 4-metre great white shark. Now, it was being filmed by the friend of a kayaker named Matthew Smith, young bloke who was fishing for snapper off the coast in mid-New South Wales. And his mate could see this huge shark approaching Matthew, right? But he was too far away to be able to yell. Matthew saw the shark too.
How big?
4 metres. Oh. Saw the dorsal fin come up. And he had something to say to that shark.
I just looked next to me and the shark was just gliding past, looking straight at me.
No! No! Off!
The shark seems interested in the kayak sea anchor, Matt quickly tossing it overboard.
Have it.
Matthew told that shark to F off at least 6 times in the footage, in the raw footage that I saw. And then, I mean, throwing the sea anchor just like with contempt. F and have it! Have it! I mean, true to form, the shark looked at it and then just swam away. So in Matthew's case, telling a shark to F off actually worked, right? Now, I wonder if there are other tales out there, all creatures great and small, that you've potentially told to F off and it's worked.
I mean, I have my own story while we wait for our listeners to weigh in here. Remember that time that we had a visit from a wildlife sanctuary at work? Why they would do that, would be interested in having animals come here. But in particular, there was the largest cane toad in Australia, a critter called, what was that heinous
Fifi.
Animal called? Fifi. Okay, Fifi was a whopping like 5 kilos or
huge.
Bigger, Sarah.
Which is a huge girl.
And I didn't realise I had an aversion to cane toads. I mean, I don't like them. I see them in the garden, but, you know, I tell them to rack off regularly. But when Fifi approached me.
You didn't realise.
I was hysterical and I I do regret telling the wildlife handler that I would kill Fifi if she approached any further. I've never been that terrified in my life. I would have killed it, Sarah, and I know that's not the right thing to do because I'm an animal lover.
And I was beside you and you were yelling at Fifi.
You were laughing, though.
No, because I was so shocked at your reaction. It was so unexpected and you were also hitting me. So
13, 10, 60, whenever you told an animal to F off.
Yeah.
And it worked. And they did. F off.
They did.
Give
us
a call.
They just F'd right off.
They did, right off.
Rob in Bendigo, when did you tell an animal to F off and it worked?
Well, I've got two. I was fishing up the top of Cape York and I climbed through all these mangoes to try and get a barramundi and stuck in. As I was there, just about my third cast, next to this alligator, or crocodile, should say, come up like a submarine. I told him well and truly to go, and I took off running. As I was running through the mangoes, I snapped the tip off my fishing rod.
Oh, no. So, Rob, you told the croc to F off, and then you ran away. So, in a way, it still worked.
Yeah, well, I was screaming like a schoolgirl as well. So
I bet you were.
And then the second time, I was out detecting, and I thought, I'll jump over this fence. And as I jumped over the fence, this big brown snake just raised his head up at me. I went, oh, my. And then I told him where to go. And then I took off and he sort of looked at me and thought, what's going on here? Because I'd just gone.
I wish we had cartoon music of a cartoon character running because I just imagine Rob to be like.
All of a sudden with his deep voice. Just be like,
there has to be a common theme of saying it and then running instead of the animal going away.
Yes. Yeah.
Dean in Hoppers Crossing. Dean, have you told an animal to F off and it worked?
Yeah, sort of and sort of not. Me and the family go metal detecting and we walked into an abandoned mine, of course, and there was two brown snakes. I'm pretty sure they were brown, and there must have been a mating pair. And the female... Obviously, I think the female head's bigger, and it kept on striking, and I'm screaming really loud, and I'm yelling, fudge off, and the missus was outside, all she could hear you was there was someone screaming, that was me, because I was screaming like a female, let's put it that way, and let's put it nicely, and that striking at the plate, bang, 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 it's all striking all the time, so the hairs on the back of my head are still going up as I'm saying it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a marathon running backwards, and I'm screaming at this thing, fudge off, fudge off, fudge off. And, it's just I was really scared.
Well, imagine those snakes. You've walked in on them having a little bit of rompy pompy. I reckon they were probably yelling the same thing at you. Give us some privacy, Dino.
Just interrupt.
Trying to get a job done, mate.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
People. And yesterday, Sarah, Dan and I went to a drive.
Something old people say.
For a drive.
You realise when you're starting to join their crew that you're like, I just love the elderly.
No, I'm not joining their crew. This guy was well and truly like one foot in the grave. He had a mobility scooter. Dan and I went for a drive and we were entering a part of the city that's renowned for having old folk there. Lots of denture clinics, lots of mobility scooter repair shops and the like. This old bloke was on his scooter on like the footpath, which is where they go. I understand that. We were driving past on the road. All of a sudden, he flicked us the forks, the good old-fashioned forks. And we were like, we didn't understand. Dane's like, did he just fork us? Like, why? Why? And I said, maybe the car created too much of a wind wobble for him.
Sure.
And he's given us the forks.
It's like the old school middle finger.
Yeah.
It's so much better than the middle finger.
But I feel the forks is a much less aggressive.
Is it?
Do you think?
I think
it's more aggressive.
I think the forks, I think if you do the middle finger, that's ruder than the forks.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the middle finger is more, what would be the word? Tasteless.
Yes.
I prefer
right.
The forks.
A fork can be done in fun. Look at me doing it to you
The middle
now,
finger
Jace.
Can be done in fun.
No.
Look at me doing it to you now,
No,
Sarah.
There's something really bogan about the middle finger.
There's something a bit gross about the middle finger. I gave him a wave after that because he really did make my day with those forks. Still unsure what I did wrong.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
There's been quite the funny list that people have come up with sharing the signs of being rich in 2020. This is, of course, off the back of Prime Minister Scott Morrison saying late last week that Aussies making $180,000 a year is not considered rich. He was talking in relation to FIFO families, etc. But the list that people have come up with, there's a few chuckles in there.
There's some good ones. I've had a read. My top one would be using the word summer as a verb. For example, we liked summer in Byron Bay in December.
That's very true.
Definitely toffee. If someone says that, you're like,
Yeah. I think my favourite is possibly, you know, when you're in the canned fish aisle and you've got your home brand tuna and mayo and sweet corn,
etc. You've got your John West.
You've got your John West.
Mid-range.
And yet you choose to buy the Serena, which is at least $3 a tiny, tiny tin.
Serena is the yellow tin, isn't it?
With
the
with
red.
It's
very,
on it.
Yeah, that's right. Very, very upmarket. I would add to that buying your basic items of clothing from Country Road. Like just a white singlet. You don't need to do that. You just go to Kmart for that. Like you don't.
But the quality.
I'm with Sarah. The quality of it is nice.
I think you should invest in
a good
staple.
It's the same factory, guys.
I don't think so. I think you're going to rotate through.
I don't know.
A white singlet for longer than. I mean, Lise, come on. You've got to. It's Serena Tuna, then there's a Country Road
pretend,
white singlet.
Don't pretend, Lee, that you...
I haven't set foot in a Country Road in a very long time, I tell you. I'm not there yet, guys.
Not there yet. Oh, what a burn. I was in there yesterday.
I feel it's really going for a matronly vibe at the moment. That's just my personal opinion.
Oh, there's one here for people who overpronounce words.
Really?
Anyone who's seen our videos at Lise and Sarah knows that Lise is quite articulate with her mouth
Sarah,
movement.
That's because my mother has a hearing impairment. Don't discriminate against me or my family. I would say anyone that buys berries for over $4 a punnet.
Sarah's a bit rich in this.
No, Sarah, what are you buying?
Isn't it better to spend money on quality fruit and veg because fast food is so convenient. I mean, you could get, you know, a Happy Meal from Macca's whereas a punnet of blueberries is going to give them some of that fibre and those antioxidants.
Sarah, I don't know someone who pulls into a Macca's for a thick shake and fries more than you. So don't give me this
What about when you go to the movies and you buy the snacks before you get to the movies?
You would never buy them at the movie snack bar.
Yeah. It was an $80 experience for the three of us to go, and the food cost more than the tickets.
It's not okay. It's never okay.
No. When are we up for a pay rise so we can buy Serena tuna?
Don't lie, you already get
mark.
It.
That's the mark of success.
Bye, guys. Spending my money on blueberries and Country Road singlets. All right, bye.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Right, so struggle street in there with the new toothy pegs a couple of times.
I feel like yours is a little bit worse than Lisa's. Oh,
yeah.
Why? I don't. I can.
You
I
always
feel
speak
really,
of the list.
Me?
I feel you're more
I'm
spitty.
Joking.
You're more salivary.
I'm more spitty. Yeah. I can feel it. But the dentist did say that the body being a remarkable thing, because these aligners are in our mouths, the body automatically just assumes that it's food and produces additional saliva for you, thinking it's doing the right thing. So he said the body will take a few days to adjust to the saliva production when it starts realising there ain't no food in there. This is just plastic trays.
And I think for me, because my bottom teeth had started to crowd inwards, that now that the aligner is over them, my tongue is having to lift up over those teeth and is overcompensating trying to find the word. So, yeah, that's probably why it is worse.
So how long does it take?
A couple
for
of
your
days.
Tongue to realise that it needs to set somewhere
when
different.
When is my tongue to settle the shit back down to come to a realisation that it needs to just be normal?
But I mean, it's certainly been it's okay at the moment. There's a couple of like sensitive areas because
it
the teeth are
like,
moving.
It feels like pressure. If you were to place your four fingers on your front teeth and press, that's what it feels like. So it's certainly not painful.
Yeah,
there's a bit of discomfort.
I think because I've known people who've had braces as adults.
Yes.
My husband included, and girlfriends of mine, and their lips were just shredded to pieces.
Yes.
You really have to eat soft food. You can't bite things because you've got the traditional, you know, train tracks on, I suppose, of the olden days.
Wire.
But I haven't felt that so far, but it's still only not quite 24 hours.
No. I'm still really happy that we've done it when we've done it, but in hindsight, wouldn't have been great to lock it in
early
like in January
year.
Had we known what was ahead,
but
and you'd have a whole year of treatment.
We don't need them on for too long, really.
Yeah.
Like, mine are 6 to 9 months, apparently, and yours are 9 to 12.
Which is totally doable keep them on 22 hours a day. So what Sarah and I have looked into...
We should say this isn't sponsored by Invisalign.
No,
like we've spent money.
This is sponsored by Lise and Sarah. You'd said, Sarah, that you'd done some reading and people call it the Invisalign diet.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, rubbish. You just take it out, eat, and you're done.
No,
like,
it's a rigmarole to take it out.
But now I understand.
I think you just can't be, you just cannot be bothered snacking because you have to brush your teeth after every meal. And
every coffee, every tea. So this morning, if the show sounded a bit lackluster, it's because we didn't have our usual 3 a.m. coffee, which, I mean, sadly,
and because you've got to
difference.
Keep them in for 22 hours a day as well. It all eats into your time.
What happens if you don't put them in for 22 hours a day? What if you go 20 hours a day?
Oh, look, he said if there are
events or things like that where you're going to be grazing and drinking, then have a few hours off.
But he said you wouldn't want to do that every week.
Yeah,
what
because he said if you
did
that every week...
It would extend your treatment time.
Well, do you know what? Yeah, because that means that there's 8 hours a week where they're not on your teeth.
That's right.
Then over that 6 months, that really adds up. So it'll put you behind and possibly mean towards the latter end.
It would
maybe
put you back a month.
I mean,
essentially.
No, well, 6 months. So there's what, 20, let's say it's 25 weeks in 6 months, 25 times eight, which is...
We're not going to cheat it.
200 hours. So you're really looking at only
a few weeks.
Yeah. But I mean,
but
why,
like,
are you rule breaking when you don't have the
rules?
Braces
are made to be broken.
I just think it's common sense, right? Look, I've had a back brace, a different form of brace. You don't I fought against that because I was a teenager. It was hard enough, but that was 23 hours a day I had to wear that bad boy. So I think you just suck it up and do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
If you can wear them, if you don't care. Look, we're just going to own it, Sarah. There's no point. There's no point hiding it from people. We've told everyone now.
Oh, there's no point hiding.
I'm not,
but I'm not embarrassed or anything like that either. I've been wanting to do this for so many years.
And it's been so fascinating, all the messages we've received of women and men who have said there's something about getting to an age where you go, I don't want to wait anymore. I'm going to do it. It's been bothering me. I'm going to take action.
And I think that's the thing is a lot of people are like, you girls already have good teeth. Yeah, they are good in the scheme of, crooked teeth. But when you've got those little things that you look at in the mirror and you're like, oh, I'm not happy with that.
I think it's also the fact that we are, like, let's be honest, there's three cameras right now facing us.
Yeah.
You know, and some may say that that's vain, but it is part of our job where we're constantly seeing ourselves back in videos or very close up on Instagram. Mm. And it's kind of part of the job, right?
Yeah.
To feel confident. So
if anything, the surprise that I wasn't expecting
is
the attachments. So when you hear about Invisalign and you see the ads on the back of buses or what have you, it's pretty much just the aligner in the teeth. But if you want to halve your treatment time, which is what Lise and I have done, they put these special attachments on your teeth that help pull and shift them into place.
Yeah.
And they are a bit sticky outy.
They're tooth colored.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing. When we were talking to the dentist, we were like, so can we take them out for events if we've got them on? And he was like, yeah, you absolutely can. But after 12 hours of wearing them, Lise and I have realised it's actually more comfortable having them in now rather than just...
Now I feel naked without them and it's only been 12 hours.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Well, but then that's a good thing, right? You want that feeling because it means you're going to keep them in, I suppose.
Yes, I suppose. We're loaded up. We've got Nurofen and Panadol in our bags.
Haven't needed them yet.
No, not yet.
Might come.
We'll be right. We'll be right.
We'll be big, brave girls.
We will be.
All right. Enough about our teeth. Bye.
We need it. Okay. Rule for tomorrow. Let's have our 3 a.m. coffee. I don't think I can do it without it, guys.
I reckon you do.
Yeah?
Well.
Do you agree? It's a mental thing. It's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this was it, right? Because it took me 10 minutes to get my aligner out this morning, because you've really got to practice
it. Sarah was late.
I was running late to work. And so I took my aligners out, cleaned my teeth.
No,
I'll go to work. I'll have my coffee. But I was so late by the time I came in.
There was no time.
There was no time for coffee.
And it's not just coffee. It's coffee and then teeth brushing.
Yes.
We've got a factor. I need a sink in this studio. That's what we need.
We'll bring you a bucket.
A little porta.
Well, I've realised we probably need to have a bottle of water in the car at all times so that you can brush your teeth. Well, like if you go and have, like I'm meeting a friend for brekkie today.
Oh, Sarah.
And then I've got to go off to boot camp, Lizzie.
I like Jace's idea of a small bucket. Better than a bottle.
A spit bucket.
Because then you can spit, take your bottle, rinse out your bucket, chuck it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, like you could just have a cup, right? You don't need a bucket.
Like I want a bucket.
You want a 44-gallon
like
drum.
Tupperware.
You want like one of those metal buckets. Yeah. You know when the baseballers used to spit into
it? Yes.
The pot, what do they call it? Not a pontoon. What's it called? Spittoon.
A spittoon.
That's it. Pontoon. People's spitting, such a disgusting. You know, Wills will not spit his toothpaste out in front of me.
Well,
he will go into the other bathroom. He's just got this real thing about, but I will. I'm like,
I'm in the. I always brush my teeth in the shower.
Oh,
yeah, wow. I do a bit of both.
It saves time. You don't have to have
a
shower.
A
then go. So I just always brush my teeth in the shower so that when I'm just brushing and it can go everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It can rain on you.
I don't need to keep all the toothpaste in my mouth.
Oh, is it that hard for you to keep the toothpaste in your mouth? Is it?
Sometimes.
But then you've got to clean, like, you. I hope you wash it down the sink properly. Toothpaste scum.
It's in the shower. It just goes into the drain.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Look, it's your house, Jace. Whatever you want to do.
Well, it's
in
not
the
mine.
Shower.
I rent it. But.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right,
well,
bye,
we're back
guys.
On teeth, bye. And we're going to end now. Bye.
Tickety boo. Off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch up. But you can score even more catch ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.